something wrong with me. Every time I'm alone with you, you keep talking about you loving me. Hey, baby, your foreplay just blows my mind. So why don't we stop all the talking, girl? Why don't we stop wasting time? I've had my share of lovers. Some say I'm damn good. And if you think you can turn me out, baby, I wish that you would. 'Cause you keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once I'm with you, I'll never go back. You say there's a lesson that you wanna teach. Well, here I am, baby. Practice what you preach.
Tell you and tell you, 'cause once I've been with you, you'll never go back. There is a lesson I'm gonna teach.
Well, here I am, baby. Practice what you preach. Yeah, it's just you and me. So many things I can do to you, and so many ways I can please. Hey, 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 it's your move, yeah. Why don't you start turning down the lights and show me just what you can do? Hey, baby, I've had my share of lovers. Some of them were damn good. But if you think turn me out, girl, I just wish that you would. 'Cause you keep, oh, you just keep, now you just keep telling me this and telling me that. You say what's up with you, I'll never go back. Say there's a lesson you wanna teach. Here I am, baby. Practice what you preach. Is it?
Good morning. It's Thursday, September 29th. You're listening to Off the Beaten Path. You're here on CITR 101.9, Vancouver's community radio station. We're broadcasting from unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory. I'm your host, Issa Arian. For the next hour, I'll be taking you down my path. You can call in at 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. Just listening to some Barry White this morning. If you... I don't know if you Canadians are familiar with Barry White, but that song, Practice What You Preach, my mom's not listening to the radio, but she would be tickled knowing that I played that this morning, because I don't know, for some reason when I was younger that was my favorite song. I don't even think I ever listened to the words, really. I listening to it now makes me kind of question about, you know, what I used to think about, because Practice What You Preach, I'm not really sure what he's talking about. Maybe we should run it back. Oh, that song is pretty explicit for the morning. There should be a disclaimer. There could potentially be some music with some explicit lyrics. So the show is parental advisory, even though as set it up right now, I like to keep it very PG, besides the fact that we'll be talking about Donald Trump later, and some of the things he says are offensive, and I don't really believe that little kids should hear them, because I don't want that to be regurgitated in any means. But today's Thursday, September 29th. Today's actually my second show here at Off the Beaten Path. You know, I really like to bring you a little taste of, you know, my interests about some of the things that I care about. I'm an American from Washington, D.C., here studying my master's at UBC. And so the things I care about are particularly skewed that way. I care about a lot of local Vancouver news. This is a place that I've grown to love over the years since I've lived here. Talk about a little bit of politics, some news, some local news. And we'll have some guests on later. I'll actually have two of my good friends on from New York City to talk a little bit about Donald Trump, about some of the things that, mostly about the presidential debate in general, but Donald Trump is just so easy to get, so easy for the jokes to come and roll off of your tongue. So, yeah, so we'll be talking a little bit about Donald Trump, a little bit about Hillary Clinton, about the impacts that it has on their lives and their proposed immigration to Canada. They have a plan for trying to bring Americans to Canada, to some places like the Northern Territories, where we believe that we could potentially set up a colony. So we'll be talking about that a little bit later. In Vancouver, looking at the weather, it's fall, so you know what that means. It's perpetually partially cloudy. Today's no different, cloudy with a high around 18. Tomorrow will be a high around 17 and a high around 15 on Saturday. 15 is guaranteed to rain. The only day that's guaranteed to rain. That's not very good news, as this week I have a sailing race. And so what that means is I'll be sailing in the rain. And although we know how much rain brings some inclement weather, which is good for sailing, you get a lot of wind. However, it's no fun sitting on a boat in the rain, pulling lines. Today I come to the radio with a little bit of a heavy heart. One of my favorite professors passed away a few days ago. Here's Steve Alisharan. He was missed by many. I just felt that it's important to recognize the people in the community that have made a difference. I know that Steve had made a difference in lots of people's lives here at UBC in accounting. So he was my accounting professor, managerial accounting, particularly. Nobody really feels for accounting professors, as they make your life very, very difficult. And Steve enjoyed making your life very, very difficult. However, he also cared a lot and wanted people to learn. So I know he will be missed by students all over UBC. And students who never got to experience him, they don't know what they're missing out. So I pay much respect to him and his family. Every episode, we try to follow a particular structure. Today is no different. So we'll be going through some local BC news. And one of the common themes in BC news is housing. I think that it's always housing, but it's not a particular set of housing. It's more than that. People in BC, they really like and know how to get paid. And that's one of the reasons why I moved here to BC, because I was trying to figure out how to get paid myself. I know all of the listeners, all three of you, up at 7 a.m. So that means you're probably going to work. You're trying to probably figure out how to make a little bit extra money. I'm going to tell you how not to do it when we come back from this commercial break.
Let's listen in as one poor soul tries to find something good to enjoy on the radio. Let's see here. God. Oh. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Oh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Well, I climbed up the mountain, climbed back down again for you. I climbed up the mountain again for you, and then I climbed back down, climbed up.
Oh. Isn't there anything? 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 Anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine, or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag, all types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
The day.
Thanks for tuning in to Off the Beaten Path on 101.9 CITR. I am your host, Issa Arian. We're broadcasting from unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory. I like to start off the show a little slow because when I wake up and between the time that I'm at my house and I get to the station, I don't really talk to, there's nobody to talk to, so there's nobody to say anything. I think these are the first words that I say all day. With that being said, people in Vancouver like to get money. They like to get paid. And a prosecutor just gave a woman 6 years, a former notary, for stealing over $100 million in a Ponzi scheme. Now, I have questions. I got lots of questions, actually. One is that I didn't realize that notaries did anything more than make sure that you could sign official documents. So it really confused me when I was reading the story, thinking about exactly how she accumulated this $140 million over, as I think it said, since 2002, so over a 12-year period. No, 2003, a 9.5-year period from 2003 to 2012. And so just to think, like, who's notary after you maybe sign your mortgage or, you know, some court documents you might not want to talk about? Who's just giving their notary money? I think that people need to be more aware about, you know, exactly what they're doing with their money and and maybe a little more trustworthy about who they're giving their money to. Because so what she was doing was she was collecting money for a trust as letters of comfort for a developer who did not know he was being used, and then paying people. What a Ponzi scheme is actually, so people pay into a pool of money. So let's say you can amass amount, you know, a $1 million and you guarantee returns for the people who deposited the money into a Ponzi scheme earlier. So what you do is you collect money from people later and you pay the early investors back the returns. And so Ponzi schemes can end up running for a long time until people start to want to collect their money, which I understand why Ponzi schemes start, and I understand how people can get away with Ponzi schemes for a little bit, but I never understood the long game in a Ponzi scheme. Like, what's your exit strategy? Because it just doesn't seem like a very feasible option when you think about trying to get out after you've paid all of these people's money and you're not actually getting any money, getting a return on your money from any type of investment. So you're just spending it. And eventually you're going to run out, or eventually people are going to start wanting their money back. And then what are you going to do? It just, as a scheme, it doesn't really make that much sense. I mean, maybe people who start Ponzi schemes should start small businesses, or maybe invest it. But then that would make it I guess maybe that would take away from the Ponzi scheme, actually. Take away the Ponzi from the Ponzi scheme. So it would just be a scheme and you just collect money to invest it. But also, BC has just written or agreed upon to opening up the LNG, so the natural gas pipeline to the west coast, to the coast. And right now it seems like nobody's happy about it. Not the Conservative Party is not happy about it, or the NDP. I think that's the NDP or the Liberals. Nobody is really happy. The First Nations is not happy. And so I think that Trudeau is in a difficult position currently, as he's trying to please everyone. And what my mom says is that when you try to please everyone, you end up pleasing nobody. I agree with that. So normally when it comes to an argument, I feel that you have to pick a side. And luckily for me, I'm not a politician. So, you know, what I think actually really doesn't matter. But you either have to open the LNG or you have to keep it closed, because, you know, as you begin to try to read up about some of the impacts and maybe some of the stakeholders and some of the people that they've talked to, you can see that they've tried to engage some, but even the announcement of the agreement of the terms on the LNG pipeline were done in Richmond and not northern in the coast, where you have First Nations and even the people who are going to be working the plant. So it just seems as if the values are a little misaligned. And I think that there's something to be done about that. If you have any ideas, you can call us up at 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. I really like to hear about what type of solutions do regular BC residents have about projects that go on? Because we always, if you look at the news, you're always listening to people who they deem as experts, or they deem as, you know, industry analysis, or maybe stakeholders, when in reality everyone's a stakeholder and everybody should have a say at about what's going on in the province. Moving on, a BC economist says that housing prices will keep climbing. So this is in the line of, listen, there's lots of opportunities to get money here in BC. You could sit on a house, like the student from last week we talked about, who made $1.6 million in less than a year after he casually bought a $7 million house, $7.1 million house, and then sold it the next year for $8.2 million. So if you happen to be sitting around on $2.5 million, $3 million for a down payment, you're welcome to buy a house in the West Side, and you know you can make a quick million. Or you could buy a house in the West Side and wait 25 years, where this BC economist says that he believes that the housing prices will double. I'm a young person who emigrated to BC. I really like this place. And he has a quote in here that kind of resonates with me. It says, high housing prices are crushing the young demographics dreams in this province. And I don't really know if housing prices are crushing my dreams, because I just know that I'll never be able to afford one. But it makes me think about, I mean, if housing prices go up, that means rent going to have to go up. And rent is already pretty high. I mean, I live in a house with 9 people. And I pay, I'm not going to tell you when I pay. But it's kind of ridiculous. So if housing prices double, does that mean my rent's going to double? And if my rent doubles, then doesn't that mean my salary should double? But my salary's probably not going to double. In the last 30 years, the salary hasn't gone up at all. I do think that it's interesting. So, some economists and some professors from UBC who particularly talk about these subjects every week, as housing is a common theme here in BC and things that we need to talk about all of the time, because it's probably the number one most pressing matter among youth here and people, and matter of fact, everyone. It affects everybody here. And so what they think is that we should do is either make a higher income tax. I mean, they think we should provide higher taxes for people who aren't living in their primary residencies, and we should tax old people. Tax whole old homeowners who've had their houses paid off. Now, one thing about being an economist is you don't have to say the right things all the time. You don't actually have to say you just have to be good, and you have to come up with novel ideas. And the ideas, it's a little different than being Trudeau and being a politician. Is you can pick a side and you can, you know, use your analysis for pretty much anything. And saying the tax on old people, while that might not be a popular position, I mean, I'm not old, so. I mean, old people vote to tax young people all the time. I mean, we're supplementing lots of things for old people. Maybe not health care here. I'm thinking of in America. But yeah, in America, and in the next few years, we're going to be supplementing lots of things like Social Security, things that I'll never probably see. So I'm all for the tax. Even though, you know what? Yeah, I'm all for the tax. I agree with the tax. I think that there more could be done. Not only should we tax old people, but as we move into a less favorable housing market, we should give tax benefits for bunk beds. I slept in a bunk bed till I was about 14 years old, and I can tell. And when you go to the dormitories in the States, a lot of the dorms are in bunk beds, so I don't really mind bunk bed. And if I thought I was going to receive a taxable benefit for having a bunk bed, I might be inclined to purchase one again. I don't really know if they make bunk beds for grown men, but if they do, I'll be the number one customer. We're going to be talking a little bit about Trump. I'll have some of my friends on in the next half hour. I think there's lots of... I'm just reading this article about the... I don't really like how I say we're going to be talking about Trump. We're going to be talking about the debate and the presidential runner-up and some of the things that he said and some of the things that Hillary said that I thought were good and some of the things that she said that Ann has done that I thought were questionable. We'll get back after these commercials.
Every year, the Vancouver International Film Festival brings a revelry of cinephilia to Vancouver. This year, VIF features over 300 films airing between September 29th and October 14th, with an opening gala featuring Isling Walsh's Maudie and a closing gala featuring Terrence Malick's Voyage of Time.
Billions of years in the making.
For its 35th year, VIF will be expanding the frame, emphasizing social interaction, workshops, and audience feedback. Find the complete program for this year's VIF online at viff.org. Experience VIF 2016, this September 29th to October 14th.
What is this?
CITR 101.9 FM.
A center for ants!
What?
We're a radio station broadcasting from UBC Vancouver.
How can we be expected to teach children to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
Visit CITR.ca.
Derek, it's just a...
I don't want to hear your excuses! The center has to be at least... 3 times bigger than this!
I got a stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking...
Discorder magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
Your examples continue to trivialize this issue, but this is about protecting Canadian values. And as I said before,
could you expand on that? I'm sorry, I don't understand how I'm trivializing the issue.
part of our conversation.
Ladies and gents, turn up your sound system to the sound of car. In the GMB product, get away.
Thanks for tuning in to Off the Beaten Path on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, Issa Arian. Call in at 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. We're here with my friend, Sovi. Sovi, what's going on? Can you hear me? Sovi, can you hear me? Okay, cool. So, yeah, we're here with my friend Sovi to talk a little bit about the debate and just about the state of America in general. And tell us a little bit about yourself, Sovi.
Well, my name is Jason Sovi, originally from Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland.
Grew up mainly in Cleveland. I went to school with you at Ohio University. Studied economics. Moved to New York to find my way into finance and flipped it and went into fashion.
Congratulations on your first Victoria's Secret booking last week. It's a pretty big deal, right?
Oh, thanks, bro.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, very big.
Yeah, so we just I wanted to know. So you're a rap fan like me. You're a hip hop fan. So I wanted to know what did you think about you registering to vote and being able to meet Pusha T? Or did you not know? Hillary Clinton has a campaign where if you register to vote through her,
you get to meet Pusha.
You and five of your friends can meet Pusha T.
What? That is hilarious. Did Bill Clinton set that up?
You know, I was thinking that probably Joe Biden set it up.
Man, I could see that too.
I think Joe Biden could be the guy.
That is pretty funny, yo. I didn't even know that.
And,
I'm going to see Pusha on Sunday.
Hey, you should ask. Hey, you should tell him that you already registered to vote, and
yeah, right.
And just be like, you know, I
registered,
you know,
before the primary.
Just be like, I already registered to vote. I know I probably missed my opportunity. However, I'm here, you know? Yeah, but I was just thinking about some of the things that Donald Trump was talking about in the debate. I was a little offended by when he said that he asked about his racial practices, you know, racial discrimination practices, and he said that he's built a club in Palm Beach County, Florida.
A club?
built a club in Palm Beach County, Florida, and since he didn't discriminate against blacks, Mexicans, or Muslims there, that racial progress was, you know, racial equality was all that was going on in the United States. So I know, you know, you being a, you know,
yeah,
racial minority.
The demographics of that club.
Yes, I mean, like, what do you think about that?
I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous for a presidential candidate to be talking about a club during a debate that the entire world is watching.
Yeah,
I just don't think that is, like, feasible, or it's a feasible argument at all when it's talking about politics and what you're going to have to do in the next 4 years. It has nothing to do with it at all.
If Donald Trump opened a club on Pennsylvania Avenue, would you go?
Hell no.
I mean,
you would go?
I mean, if Donald Trump...
You'd go to just to stir the pot.
If Donald Trump opened the club, you know, I'm from Washington, D.C., if Donald Trump opened the club, if he became our president and Donald Trump opened the club at the White House or near the White House, I might have to check it out. I'm going to be honest. But
I wouldn't put it past him, though, at all.
That was almost my most offended moment during the...
Absolutely. I mean, so I had to play catch up when it came to it, because I was flying back from Cleveland during the debate. And, like, I literally came and sat down when that was happening. And I was like, is this real? This is what we're talking about right now?
Yeah, I mean, I
was blown away.
I thought that was the second most offensive portion of the debate, except for when Hillary pressed him on his housing discrimination policies, he said that him and his dad had never admitted guilt. He said, you know, we settled out of court. We never admitted guilt. And
you settled out of court. You're basically admitting guilt.
Yeah, it's...
You're just making sure that it doesn't go to that extent.
Yeah, no, it's so... So you live in New York City. Have you ever thought about immigrating to Canada?
Not to Canada, and I mean, to be honest with you, I've only been in Toronto.
Okay. So you guys got to come out here.
I need to get out to Vancouver. Like, I really do. I mean, I've heard great things about Montreal as well. I've never heard a bad thing about Canada, to be honest with you. But my immigration is probably going to head towards Holland, and I would rather become a Dutch resident.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, the Dutch, they seem to be doing things pretty good over there.
They really do.
I mean,
I've been there a few times the last two years, and really fell in love with the place. I mean, not even because of, you know, the obvious that's there, but the people there were so nice. I mean, I really liked that being able to speak English to everybody was pretty cool.
You know, we speak English here in Canada, right?
Well, yeah, I know that, actually, but I mean, like, but I was in Europe, you know?
Yeah. No, understandable, yeah. and it's not that British English that's hard to understand.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not for me.
Yeah. What is the general sentiment of New York? I mean, New York City's, you know, it's large, populous area. It's not very indicative of the entire United States. However, there's many, many different types of people. So I know in your
very representative.
Yeah, in your line of work, do you ever come across Trump supporters?
Yes. So my boss is actually one, which is crazy. It's always, you know, businessmen, people that have a little bit more income, obviously.
You can say white dudes.
Yeah, white dudes. I mean, sure. Pretty much that. I mean, being in New York, this is like a battleground for Trump and Hillary. They both have roots here. So it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I actually, I never really even thought about that because she's from New York as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, she obviously was a senator here. Her HQ is in Brooklyn. Bill's HQ was back in the day was up in Harlem.
Bill, of course, Bill would be in Harlem.
right? I mean,
playing so jazz.
This is crazy. When we were going through the primaries, they were in New York like crazy. I mean, Bernie obviously was here like an entire amount. I mean, the rallies that he was throwing were insane. Were some of the coolest things I've ever been a part of.
Can you talk to us a little bit about? I mean, we miss Bernie Sanders as a candidate for president. I said, can you tell us a little bit about some of those rallies and just a little bit about some of the feelings? Maybe in the next presidential election, maybe we can ramp those things up. But can you tell us a little bit about maybe the sentiment around Bernie Sanders and about how that maybe has dissipated since he dropped out?
He obviously came out pretty recently saying, you know, he's very pushing towards, you know, don't make that third party vote. Don't fuck this up for everybody, basically. I guess he's just fallen into line, but it's just hard to look at it like that when all those WikiLeaks come out and they show that, you know, he would have taken this election. And it just really sucks to not see him out there. So there's a lot of people that have that sentiment where they're like, man, I hate this shit. Like, I hate Hillary. We all did build up like this hate towards her almost. And it wasn't just because of, like, you know, the stuff that these Republicans come up with, but just more so like how she's just stealing the election. We all knew it the whole time.
Did you watch? I mean, you watched the debate. The one thing I didn't really resonate with Hillary Clinton with me was just the idea that all of her answers just seemed a little.
Robotic?
Yeah, robotic, a little calculated. You know, I mean, as she's the presidential candidate, everything has to be, everything has to be precise. But just how she spoke about some of the things was just that, you know, she's just trying to say the exact right word at all the times. And I think that's one of the things that resonates with Trump is, Trump supporters, is that, like, he's not always going to say the right thing. So, like, they love him for that. They love him for that. But, like, he always says the wrong thing.
Right. So you can calculate him like that. You can always have the rebuttal because you know he's going to say something crazy. I mean, you might not know exactly what he's going to say, but you have, like, a line that he's going to go towards. See, the rebuttals that she's going to have are probably, you know, calculated way in advance. And then she's just ready to fucking snipe him whenever she can.
Yeah, so no, thanks Sobey. I appreciate you having you on to talk a little bit about the presidential election, a little bit about Trump and Hillary, and even brought in some Bernie Sanders, because I really miss that guy. Like,
I miss him so much.
Like I follow him on Twitter, and I saw he posted a picture during the debate of him standing in front of the TV.
I saw that, looking at the debate.
And it made me feel like Bernie Sanders was a battle rapper, and, you know, he's just waiting for his time. I have one more final question before we go into a commercial break. Is just that so I know that, you know, so we're in a group chat and we got a lot of jokes. If Harambe were around today, do you think he could start at quarterback for the Browns?
I mean, why not? Just run that Wildcat offense. You could throw three backs back there. You got Kessler, Dreyer, and then Harambe. You can toss it to anybody.
Listen,
why not at this point?
I lived in Cleveland for 4 years, and I grew to love the city of Cleveland. And while I love to make fun of it, it is generally sad to think about that their football team will probably never ever be good in my lifetime.
Never. I've already given up.
All right. Well, great to hear from you, Sobey. And thanks for calling in. And if you'd like to call
in,
no problem. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-CITR.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. Remember Pilate from the New Testament?
Pontius Pilate, he fiddled while...
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Nodwatch
Show on Sunday. Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
Hello, Vancouver. This is Carolyn Mark.
When it hit, you feel no pain. White folks say it controls your brain. I know better than that. That's game, man. We ready for that. Two soldiers headed the pack. Matter of fact, who got the
one?
And where my army at? Rather attack and not react. Back to beats, it don't reflect on how many records get sold on sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Whether your projects put on hold in the real world. These just people with ideas. They just like me and you. When the smoke and cameras disappear again, the real world. It's bigger than all these fake records. Wait, poor folks got the millions and my woman.
Welcome back. You're here listening to Off the Beaten Path on 101.9 CITR, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here at UBC. And I like to acknowledge when I'm wrong. So, you know, we often talk about the UBC Thunderbirds, about how I don't really know. Like, I watched the national championship last year, and I'm not really sure if anybody was really watching it with me. I was in a bar by myself. I thought I was the only person that cared. But I know that there are people who do care, and there's people who probably listen to this radio station, you know, expecting it to be, pro-UBC sports all the time. And I was wrong. So after they had UBC in the first couple of games coming off the national championship, I was expecting them to be 5-0 at this time. When I saw that they were 1-3, I was kind of disappointed. But you know, looking at the games, I could see that the offense was rolling. The turnovers were things that beat them, and they beat the brakes off of Alberta 62-0 last weekend. And I just wanted to make sure that I gave some credence to some of their players, because I see them walking around campus. I know that they're working hard. I play football. I know that it's a lot of work. And so, you know, when you're 1-3, it's hard to bounce back from that. One thing I thought was interesting, so talking about Harambe last segment with my friend Sobe, and we're talking about Harambe, which one of the things that I think is, like, you know, that happened over 6 months ago, and It's one of those things. It's very weird how the lag in pop culture, you know, people really care about it. Harambe was the gorilla that was shot in the Cincinnati Zoo after a 3-year-old fell into his enclosure. And apparently Toronto College, I didn't know, I thought it was TU, but Toronto College apparently had a candlelight vigil for Harambe. And I don't really know how, I mean, I feel about that. I mean, all of the atrocities, going around, and, you know, people are holding vigils for Harambe and getting Harambe personalized items. And I think they're even selling Harambe T-shirts and bobbleheads. And if they haven't sold a bobblehead, that's something that I need to get on, because I think that there's a lot of money to be made selling Harambe bobbleheads. You know, this is the portion where we like to bring up some sports, but mostly a lot of miscellaneous information. I just think that, you know, it's good to know. Maybe for your weekend, you know, you're at the bar, you may be trying to talk to a girl, and you can say, hey, did you know that the world's first baby with three parents was born? Now, I know you're probably thinking, you know, Issa, lots of people have three parents. Yeah, me too. I have a stepdad. And no, but this is different. So in the UK, approved a version of called three-parent therapy, which is for people who have difficulty having children. So what they do is they take the nucleus out of one egg and they put it into the surrogate's egg while they take the nucleus out of that, and then that egg is fertilized with the father's DNA, and then that egg is then implanted into the mother. So it has all three different types of DNA, which I think is pretty cool, because if they can do three, they can do three, and they can do probably four. My concern is I wonder if what the baby's going to look like, because, I mean, I know how generally biology works. I think the nucleus is the brain. And is the baby going to look like the mom, or is it going to look like the surrogate's mom? Or is it going to be like two weak versions of that DNA, and you'll get like a third person who it doesn't look like anybody, but it looks like everybody at the same time? I'm not really sure. Continuing with in a sporting theme. So I don't know if you guys know who David Big Papi Ortiz is. He's a first baseman for the Red Sox. And so he's retiring this year, and it's a pretty big deal. So he goes around to all the ballparks and he collects, almost like Derek Jeter, but like not quite as big. And, you know, he collects a lot of gifts and a lot of memories. And so what he did was he followed suit other professional athletes like Shaq, and DJ Khaled is an athlete, and DJ Khaled, and they dress up as Uber and Lyft drivers, and they pick people up. And one of the interesting things is that, like, for as many times as I get told I look like this particular black person or that particular black person, people who don't look anything like me, like Lil Wayne. Like, you guys don't know what I look like, but only thing that's same about me and Lil Wayne is that we both have dreadlocks. Nobody recognized him in this video. And it's about a 4-minute clip. And, you know, you just think that, like, hey, somebody would be like, hey, you kind of look like David Ortiz. You have the same gap. You know, nobody even said he looked like Michael Strahan, which I don't think he looks like Michael Strahan, but I could see how people could see the mouth and try to and maybe get a little confused. And if you need another reason to hate Americans or America, Martin Shkreli, the guy who bought the pharmaceutical company and then raised the price of that AIDS drug, like 700%, says that he's auctioning off a chance to punch him in the face. So if you just Google Martin Shkreli, punch him in the face. I started a GoFundMe page, and we're trying to raise money so that we can get Mike Tyson to punch him in the face. We're trying to do this for mankind, just one and done. So if you want to be a part of the movement, let me know. We're trying to make it happen. Texas recently banned books in prisons. So they banned books by some really great authors. They banned books by Langston Hughes, Sojourner Truth, Shakespeare, Harriet Beecher Stowe, Tom Clancy, James Patterson, Noam Chomsky, Stephen King. They banned James Baldwin. He's like one of the best writers of all time. They even banned 50 Cent's book. But you know what book they haven't banned? Mein Kampf. Now, it's just some of these things that, you know, make you go, hmm. By the way, that's a segment that we're going to be doing next Thursday. Things that make you go, hmm. And what is the purpose of banning all of these books and not banning some books? I think that I should make it a goal of myself to write a book that potentially gets banned. But I don't really think that the bar is set too high because they banned Shakespeare. The prison's reasoning for banning the books is that they wanted to ban books with sexually explicit language or themes, and they wanted to ban books that might incite intellectualism amongst their prisoner population. No, they didn't really say that, but I mean, I think that that's really the only clear conclusion that we can draw from this, is that they don't really want people to learn anything or just think critically about maybe the system that they've been involved themselves in. So last week I gave you guys some tips on some betting tips and some games that I thought were absolute locks, and I was 100% right. And honestly, that's the first time that I've been right like that, so don't take my advice on betting for the most part. However, I think there's some good games this weekend that I think that you should take advantage of, like Louisville-Clemson. I think that'll be a great game. Not for betting, particularly. I mean, I don't think Clemson is as good as they were last year, and the line is only 2 to Louisville. So basically, if Louisville wins, you get paid. I think Louisville will win by more than 2 points, so that might be a good bet. However, the over is at 67.5, and I believe that it'll be far over. Just particularly because you got Deshaun Watson and you have, can't remember the Louisville quarterback's name. I'm going to look it up right here. What is this guy's name? Lamar Jackson. Wow. He's a Heisman. I should be ashamed. This guy's got 15 touchdowns. No, 25 touchdowns. 25 touchdowns in 4 games. And, you know, that is about my time here. Thanks you for listening to Off the Beaten Path this morning with me from 7 to 8 every Thursday. You hear on 101.9 CITR. And I'm going to take you out.
You know, it's great. Some of the best reporters are non-Native people on Native issues, you know, in some cases. People like Jody Porter.
You know, speaking from film and television, the business side of it is really quite complicated. Like, you have someone like Zacharias Canuck. His film, The Fast Runner, is the number one Canadian movie of all time. His company 3 years ago had filed for bankruptcy. There isn't, like, the resources.